Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com. All right. Thanks for listening to Hour 1 of Around the House with Eric G. Let's go to Hour number 2. For more information, head to aroundthehouseonline.com and make sure you like and follow us on Facebook as well. Now, let's get to the show.
Now we just gotta get you on the radio. Yeah, you gotta get out.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. If you missed Hour 1, it's okay, because it's going to be on the podcast. And you can catch that anywhere you catch podcasts, or just head over to aroundthehouseonline.com, and you'll find our page right there. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vauder.
All right, I want to talk a little bit about, this is one that's kind of what I'd say dear to my heart. I want to talk this hour about 10 common problems to fix ASAP.
And these aren't huge problems. These aren't big. You aren't going to have to spend a whole lot of money on these.
These are the ones that you push off. Go, oh, I'll get it. That's a day 2 project. And then it's a day 4 and maybe a month 2. And now it's costing you a lot more money to fix later.
Because now this project has turned into a problem.
It's got a big problem. I do want to get you to call in here, though. If you want to be part of the show with questions, 503-521-7072. That's 503-521-7072. Call, text. Of course, messages on social media. That'll get you too. A lot of people have been doing that recently, and we're okay with that, too. But if you want to get on the show, that's how you do it. Also wanted to welcome back our friends in Bend on KBND.
Absolutely.
You know, we had a little hiatus there because some satellite distribution issues in the transition. But you know something? They're back. Thanks for listening, guys. We really appreciate you. So be a part of the show at that 503-521-7072. We'll record it. We'll put you in the show. And guess what? That way I can answer your question 100% instead of trying to get it right before we go out to break, because that's how Murphy's Law always works.
We can take our time with answering your question. It's not like, oh, let's grab this. We got 3 minutes. You know, get to your point real quick. No, it's like, okay, we can talk and discuss what issues are actually going on.
I got a funny story for you before we jump into this that I haven't even told you about yet, but I wanted to leave it for the radio. I talked a little bit about on the midweek special, but Julie and I were in the kitchen with her daughter. And Rye, my German Shepherd Chow mix, he's probably about 80 pounds. I don't know. He's a big dog.
Yeah.
Lots of hair. He decided while we were loading the dishwasher, we've got a Miele dishwasher, not anything crazy.
I see where this is going already.
He decided he'd come in and try to lick the plates while we were.
Oh.
But here's the funny part. He got his collar stuck on the lower basket of the dishwasher rack. So what's a dog do like that? He panics, freaks out. And he goes running with a lower dish rack half filled with dishes.
And you don't have very wide, I wouldn't say the widest of walkways.
No, I mean, it's normal, but it's not a big wide open space. I call it a racetrack because you can go around through the dining room, through the other living area, through the little hallway, and you got a racetrack. He decided to do the racetrack with dishes flying everywhere. We only lost a few plates, not a big deal. We have plenty of those. And they're easily accessible, so we didn't lose any rare china or anything. But I felt bad and even worse for laughing as it happened. Because it happened so quick, there was no tracking him down.
And he was freaking out.
And he was freaking out, which I hate to see him freaking out. That's not a good thing. But we got him calmed down. But he's not really licking those dishes anymore. No. Trying to not sneak up to that. He calls that good at this point.
He learned his lesson there.
And then we had to go spend about 20 minutes looking for the little rollers that popped off of the dishwasher rack that was under the couch and, you know, in weird spots as the, but no other damage to anything else, nothing to the walls, furniture, not to the dog. He was good. Just his pride. But it was pretty funny.
Yeah, it's quite a shocking couple of seconds, I imagine.
Oh, yeah. It lasted about 10. It lasted a lot longer than I thought. I mean, he made it probably 40 feet with that thing hooked on his collar and the little license stuff, you know. So
I thought you were going to say he was going to, like, shake and a whole bunch of heroin into your dishwasher and had to clean that up. That's where I thought you
that
were going.
That would have been easier. That would have been easier. All right, let's dive into our 10 common problems to fix ASAP. Here's one that can have a lasting impression on you. Warm fridge or freezer. Here's the thing. If you have that thing at the wrong temperature, and maybe it's on its way to dying, and you're sticking those leftovers in there, you are going to get some food poisoning.
Anyone who's worked in restaurants knows about the danger zones.
Yes. Danger, danger zone.
That's the reason they call them a danger zone.
Yeah. You're going to get nailed on this. So this is one of those... I think it's a good idea to really keep an eye. If you've got a newer fridge, it'll tell you the temperature. Great. I'd trust with that. Go with it. Not a bad idea to take a thermometer and throw it in there and see what you got. You know, when you're doing your maintenance on stuff, make sure that you check that out. And of course, you know, you can get freezing. You can tell when things are frozen, but you can also have things down and turn down a little bit cold. So you're overfreezing stuff and making it a little more freezer burned. Be careful. You know, if you've got one of those sub-zero type fridges, they actually have one of the only fridges that actually have two compressors. So what happens is you have a compressor that runs the refrigerator side.
So they're separate.
So they're separate. Almost like two units put together. That helps you with item number two on here, which is bad smells in your fridge. Now, when you're looking at refrigerators, if you've got a bad smell there, in most cases, people don't have that, you know, $10,000 refrigerator. So that smell ends up in all your freezer stuff. Put that old fish. Now all of a sudden it's in your ice cubes. Never good. Never good. So this is one of those things. If you've got that bad smell in there, there's bacteria. There's all this other stuff that's in that. Get it cleaned up. Make it go away. That's going to be a lot better. So spend some time. Clean that fridge out. You would not believe for most people when they go through there, they go, oh, that mustard was 2 years old. I mean, it expired 2 years ago. Always make sure that you check those dates. It's always good to do that monthly refrigerator clean out and get things dialed in and check all your dates when it goes back in and make sure you're good to go.
Now, is there any reason to go any deeper than just the refrigerator compartment? Any sort of the lines that would need cleaning on any of this?
Yeah, I would actually pull it out because what happens is those dust bunnies get caught underneath. Usually in that toe kick area on most of them is the coils are down low down there, which works great, but it grabs every little piece of pet hair, all those other things. So pull that front cover off. Take a look and see where yours are. Sometimes it's in the back on an older one, but get that all vacuumed out and cleaned up. And then here's the other one that's a little farther down the list, but we're going to hit it too. Make sure you change. I think it is actually that, you know, that filter.
Yeah.
The water filter.
Mm-hmm.
You should be changing that about every 6 months on most fridges.
I don't think to do that.
No, most people don't. So, and that's not just the filter company saying. You can get all the junk in there and then all your water's coming to the junk. You want to make sure and change that out. So make sure you're changing that filter anywhere 6 months to a year. Most people right now, I think, on our listening audience are going, oh, mine's been a couple of years since we put that fridge in. Yeah. So make sure you do that. That's a key right there. And I think that's a really good one to get going because otherwise, man... And inspect that line back there, too. There's so much water damage done by a refrigerator. But stay on that maintenance. Make sure you get those things cleaned up. Change that filter. And make sure you get that dialed in. Well, that took care of the first one.
Well, just out of key, so just kind of delve in. Because these are things that can escalate into bigger problems. What are people looking at if they don't do this?
Okay, you can burn up a refrigerator. So the refrigerator compressor, you get all the dust down there.
All the junk, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Overheats, all that. You know, if you've got rotting food in the fridge, that's going to help other food rot.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at a sub-zero fridge, they actually spend the money and built in this unit that's a UV cleaner to the air. Because when fruits go to break down, they let off these certain gases. Those gases help other fruits break down. It's that one bad apple in the bunch. Yep. That actually kills those gases, so that doesn't spread around to the other things in the fridge. But if you've got bad rotting food in there, that's spreading around in there, and that's going to help those other things break down quickly. So maybe you bought some fruit that you're like, oh, it'll be good in a week for that, or vegetables. Well, when it breaks down in half the time, it's not maybe the fruit's problem. It's the stuff that's inside your fridge.
That's something to think about. Yeah.
So that's one there too. And then who wants to drink dirty water?
No.
That's going to plug up at some point. You're going to get water and it's going to take forever to come out most of the time. That's a bad filter.
Okay.
You can get that taken care of that way. One of the other ones I wanted to talk about here that we talked about, and we're kind of going to start here before we got to break. I want to talk about it for a second, is that oven that's out of adjustment.
What
I mean is, when you set it to 425 degrees, is your oven at 425 degrees just because the dial or the push button say it's there? Is it really? And it's surprising. When I was doing mine, it was way off. When we come back, I'll tell you how far off it was just as soon as Around the House returns.
What's up? This is Dick.
And Satchel from Steel Panther, and you are listening to
Around the House with Eric G.
Yeah.
We love Eric G, and you should too.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us out there, everybody. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
All right. Well, I want you to join us in the conversation. Give us a call to our 24/7 line. You can call or text us 503-521-7072. That's 503-521-7072. Or head over to Facebook at ATH Eric G. Or just search Around the House with Eric G and you'll find us over there. And then join Around the House Nation. That way you can put your projects up, share them with everybody else. Or if you get stuck on something, there's a ton of experts besides us right here that can help you get it knocked out. Plus, it's fun to see what everybody's working on.
Absolutely.
Every weekend. All right. We've been talking about 10 common problems you need to get on and fix. Like now, these are those ones that, we see this happen so much. I've been guilty of it. I think everybody's been guilty of it. I'll get that. Oh, man, this has gotten to be a much bigger problem. And that's where things go sideways.
And then you don't know what to do.
Yep. And then it got too expensive. So let's talk about here. Here's one of the items. You know, we were talking a lot about refrigerators last segment, but your oven out of adjustment. So this is either that built-in oven or your range that has the oven built into it, that type of thing. Mine, when I checked mine, I was 50 degrees out of adjustment. So every time that I would set my oven to 425.
For 30 minutes,
it was actually only 375. Every single oven out there, just about, I mean, there's always an exception, is adjustable in one way or the other. So let me tell you how to fix this.
Yeah, I have no idea how you'd go about that.
So get your oven thermometer, stick it in the middle of the oven. Don't put it too hot, too high, too low, wherever. Put it in the middle rack. Set it there. Set your oven to 400 degrees or 450, whatever you're going to set it to. Then take a look and see how that operates. Well, if you look at it and say, wow, I'm 25 degrees off. All right. Now is what you do is you either have an electric control panel and follow your directions. You can Google this up if you don't still have the manual. It'll tell you how to push two buttons and make it blink, and you can set the difference on your electric control panel. There'll be directions for that. A lot of older ones like the Whirlpools, the GEs, you pull the knob off because it's a turn knob. Mm-hmm. And in the back of it, there's an adjustment screw on the back of that knob. So you can slide it too cold, too hot, whatever. Then turn it on. What I did is actually turn the oven off for a little bit, let it cool down with the door open for a minute. If you got kids, don't do that. Nobody needs to be getting hurt. But turn it back on again, set it to that, and then test it again. You can fine tune and adjust it, get it dialed in. But make sure and tell your significant other if they're the big cook of the house. because now you just changed every single recipe that they're used to. Because they go, oh yeah, I gotta let that cook about another 10 minutes because it never lasts. It said to cook for an hour and 10 minutes. I'm gonna let it go another 10 or 15. You need to remember to dial that back.
That was one of the first things I thought of when we brought this topic up was anyone who likes to bake. Anyone who's done baking knows just how precise baking is. That's why a lot of cooks don't like to do it.
Yep.
But if they're a baker and their oven's off, you can have so many different issues with that.
Correct. So now you're going to have to keep in mind, reset your thought process on cooking because you're just starting off in a new kind of range because it's going to cook differently now. So be prepared for that. But that's a big one. Now, another one on here that I think is a key, microwave malfunctions. Now, here's how microwaves go bad. That magnetron tube in the inside of that thing, that tube, if someone runs the microwave without a product in there, it can burn that out and damage it. So if somebody just turns the microwave off without something in there for a minute, you can damage that microwave. The problem is that you can create a fire. There's so many things that can go wrong with a microwave. Nothing to be scared of, but a microwave that's going bad has a ton of problems it can cause. So if you think it's not working correctly, get another one. Get rid of that one. But dispose of it properly.
I was going to say, how do you get rid of a microwave?
I would go to my local landfill and
they
put it over there.
Take it, but
they're going to charge you for it, but in most cases. Some places won't. But take it in there. They have appliance drop-off where they'll recycle it and do it correctly. You know, that's an electronic device.
But when you deal with like anything I would think of that you're dealing with any sort of radiation or anything like that, because with computers, I know they're super cautious because what goes into those. So I didn't know if there was anything like that in microwaves.
Correct. No, you're good. Just make sure that you dispose of it properly. But, you know, microwaves are one of those things you got to be careful with. I mean, I had a guy who had some developmental issues, and I'm not sure what his whole history was, whether it was a stroke or something had happened to him, but really nice guy. And he was a client for one of my contractors I worked with. But long story short, what happened was he went to go take a shower and he went, you know, I'm going to throw the TV dinner in the microwave real quick while I go hit the shower.
Oh, I think you've told me this story.
Yeah. That way I have hot food when I walked out, and he put the 2 minutes and 30 seconds and made it 23 minutes. By the time he got out of the shower in about 20 minutes, he had a heck of a fire in his kitchen. So we were replacing all the cabinets is how I met him.
Yeah. I mean, because how are you going to know? You're in the shower. You can't hear anything. You're probably in a closed bathroom.
Yep. Down the hall, around the corner. Yeah. So first off, never use any of these things unattended.
No, don't walk away. You never, while you're cooking anything, you don't walk away.
And I'm going to actually put a maintenance item on here that people forget about. And I'm adding this to an 11-column problem, but it's going to be a maintenance thing you need to do. If you have a front-load washing machine, you know, I've got them here. A lot of people have them because they're energy efficient. They're easier on their clothes, all that stuff. When was the last time you changed or emptied the filter? And people go, filter? There's one on there? Yeah. Mine, because it's either my nuts and bolts and nails and screws or whatever's in my pocket, and then the girls' hair clips and everything else, that basket gets filled up heavily. And when that gets filled up, it slows the pump down. And so there's just ways that happens. And you get those things in there.
We should just change filters.
Yeah.
Just change all your filters.
All your filters. We'll talk more about that just as soon as Around the House returns.
Ron Keel, the metal cowboy from Keel, the Ron Keel Band and Steeler. We are rocking Around the House with Eric G.
Raise your fist, make your stand for family and friends. All the fields, if you're gonna take on the world, fight like a band.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Our buddy Ron Keel there from the Ron Keel Band in Keel. Little 80s metal. I love it. That's some of his new stuff there, which just came out this last year.
Good friends of the show. Love them.
Oh, yeah. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vauder.
All right. We've been talking home improvement and, more importantly, 10 common problems you need to fix ASAP. It's probably going to be 11 or 12 by the time I get done adding stuff to it, but you're getting where we're coming from. Hey, join us in the conversation. Number here in the studio, 503-521-7072. Call or text us, and we'll put you in the show. 503-521-7072. And head over to Facebook, Round the House with Eric G. Or you can put in that little at ATH Eric G. Well, let's finish talking about what we were talking about last segment, which was making sure you're maintaining that front load washing machine. And this is one of those things that you don't want to let go, because if you get that pump filter, and it's not really like a filter you pull out and replace and throw away, it's like a basket you clean out inside it in most cases.
Okay, so you're not even really spending money here.
This is a no-cost thing. You're just going to make a little bit of a mess.
Yeah.
So make sure you get that thing. There's always some water in there, so make sure you got a pan down there in most cases. Read the instructions, go on YouTube, figure out your model specifically. But when I pull it out, there's always like a button or something in there. You know, there's stuff that's jammed up in there. You can burn that unit up, like fry it, burn the motor up, burn the pump up, if you don't keep that clean in there. And many times when you realize you're starting to do that, if you forgot it, you'll notice that all of a sudden maybe your towels aren't getting as dry. That means that water's not pumping out fast enough. You've got it nearly plugged. So make sure with that one. That's a key. And you can do a lot of damage to a very expensive appliance if you don't do that correctly.
Now, just out of curiosity, because I have a top load washer. Now, are there do front loads typically get more dirty? And how do I typically go about it with a top load?
Well, most top loads, there's no filter in there because you've got the drum.
Okay,
yeah. And the holes aren't that big. There might be one in some models. A lot of ones don't. They just figure, it'll get close. You can also burn a pump up, though, if a little wire or something gets down in there. There might be something in there, but generally, no, there's not a serviceable filter on that. But they do with the top load. They don't have the problem with mold and mildew that the front load ones do. So my secret there is you can buy a bunch of different brands. Tide has them. We've talked about it in the past in maintenance. You can throw in those little cleaners without the clothes in there. Or run through there. But if you leave the door open, or if you've got a newer one that has a self-cleaning cycle, you can get that going. But that's another good little maintenance tip while you're at it. All right. Here is one that I really wanted to talk about this hour here. Dripping sink or faucet. And even a toilet, same kind of thing. Any of these plumbing things that get going. First off, you're wasting water, man. Don't do that. Second of all, you're wasting money. Why do that? And third, usually that's a sign of bigger problems to that faucet. So if that faucet and the seal's so badly worn on it that when you go to turn off, it's still dripping, other problems can happen. So what I want you to do is get those things repaired. If you got to put a new faucet on, put a new faucet on. But the key here is making sure that you've got those things dialed in. And part of that is I want you to inspect where the water goes around that faucet. So many times people have a faucet that's maybe a little bit loose. Water gets around it, goes into the cabinet below. Now you got mold and mildew again. So anytime water is going to a place that it's not supposed to go, you got a problem. And the same thing, just a little sidebar. That area where your vinyl floor goes up to the front of the bathtub.
Yeah, yep.
That area right there,
notorious,
loves to catch water. And that's where, next to that toilet too, that is one of the hottest areas where you can ruin a floor or ruin a subfloor. Make sure if you notice that vinyl's peeling back, caulk it, get it back together, keep it sealed up. Because if not, you're going to be doing new vinyl floor in there pretty quickly.
And it's going to spread, because that's what mold and mildew does.
And it's just going to discolor that vinyl. So if you go to put it back down 6 months later,
too late.
Too late. You got a mess. And then you got particle board that's underneath it that's swollen up. Don't play that game. Now, so that's a key.
one thing I've noticed with my faucet, I don't have a leaky faucet, but I am noticing that when I turn it on, I'll get the steady stream, the normal, but I'll also get water sprouting out the sides. Now, I imagine that's just a cleaning issue. How do I go about that?
So when you're talking faucets like that, shower heads are another good one. So you'll get...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do have a couple. Yeah. Okay.
Think about that. Yep. Those things where you have water going through a very tight area, that loves to get hard water deposits and mineral deposits on there. So there's a lot of shower heads and stuff that you can just wipe over and the stuff falls right off.
Okay.
Or what you can do is take a minute and actually just clean it with like, you know, there's CLR.
Like a pipe cleaner or something.
Well,
like
any one of the anti-lime, you know, like lime oil.
Okay, yeah.
All those things will work. Make sure, though, that your faucet will take that. If you've just got an old chrome faucet, you'll be fine in most cases. But make sure that your finish will accept that. And if you've got a marble, real marble countertop, think about that. That's made out of kind of a limestone-ish type material. And if you put lime oil on it,
it's going to go away.
Yep. You're going to etch it and make a heck of a mess. So be very careful with this stuff and use it correctly. Make sure you don't get it around on other pieces of tile or stone because it will do damage. But use that on there. And then the bigger thing, though, that I would say is get a hold of a good water filtration company and find out why you're getting that mineral buildup. Because if you're getting a ton of mineral buildup, that could be buildup that's inside your pipes. That could be buildup inside your water heater that might need to be flushed or a bunch of other stuff. So when I see signs of, you know, minerals that maybe need to be filtered out or at least controlled for a shower head, that's one of those things you got to be careful with. And if you think about it, this is a key right here. If you have chemicals in your water, and again, send this over to America's Healthy Home Expert. Let her do some testing for you to see what's in there. But the key, though, is if you get those contaminated water chemicals hitting you,
yeah,
you absorb those through your skin.
You don't have to drink it.
You don't have to drink it. So if you have that, oh, I got my water filter on the sink. Well, you're showering in that and it's going to absorb through your skin. So make sure you're doing that stuff as well, because that's one of those things that can sneak up. And don't let that be a day two project. If you need to get a whole house filtration system in, do it. You're going to be very happy when you do and maintain it correctly. And that's going to leave for a healthier lifestyle for you. All right. Here's another one on here that is a big one. Broken garbage disposal. People think,
Why cares?
Who cares? Many cases, your dishwasher runs into the middle of that. So think about that. So that's pumping water through your garbage disposal into there. Well, if that garbage disposal is jammed up, if it's leaking or any one of those things, you're now putting that little bit of system under pressure. Now you could have a big problem. I've seen people that have the, oh yeah, it's just, I just don't hit the on button. It doesn't leak. Well, that works until you use the garbage. Somebody tries to click it on, jams it full of food, and you got a problem. Or more importantly, when the drain cycle on the dishwasher goes.
Yeah, we all know. Trust me, when I was a kid and I would do the dishes, that's one thing I would commonly forget.
Yep. And then you got a problem. So, again, guys, make sure that that's one of those things that if it's not working correctly, dial it in. Go get a good one. And don't go get the little tiny quarter horse garbage disposal when you go replace it. Get a good one.
Get one little less.
Yeah, 3/4 to a horse and a quarter. Get something good. Put it in there. And then just make sure that you've got a sink. If you're designing, here's another key too. If you're replacing that, maybe you've got one of those, ceramic apron front sinks.
Okay.
See them in the magazines.
Yeah.
A lot of those early ones were not designed for garbage disposal. And you think, what do you mean? It'll fit. Yeah, it'll fit. Problem, though, is that the startup of the motor can crack.
Oh.
Because they're made out of China.
Yep.
So now you got a broken $1,000 sink.
Yep, it's a giant waste of money.
So make sure that you're doing this. Do it correctly. And then the other key little secret that I'll drop before we go out to break, make sure when you replace it, you punch out the little plug that the dishwasher drains into. Otherwise, that dishwasher is never, ever going to drain, and you'll feel pretty dull about it. Here's some Liliac. We'll talk more about home improvement just after these important messages. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. Where's the show gone, man?
Already in the fourth segment.
Jeez, blasting right through it. Well, hey, I wanted to talk a little bit about some things here to wrap up our 10 common problems you need to be fixing ASAP, because these are these things that really just will bite you in the rear end if you don't get after them. One of the big ones here that I wanted to talk about was, well, water heater leaks. If we talk about that for just a second, this is one of the most important ones. If that water heater is leaking, it is getting ready to let 40 or 50 gallons of water all over everywhere. So when it's leaking, that's a 911 emergency in your head. Don't call 911, but that's an emergency that you better get that taken care of, because once it gets ready to go and it goes, you could have a heck of a mess.
The damages that causes is astronomical.
Oh, yeah. So make sure you got that taken care of. You know, turn the water off to it, but first turn the power or gas off to it first. You never want to drain an electric water heater that's still turned on, because you'll burn the elements up too. Nobody needs to do that, but make sure that's a big one that you can get burned on right there. Now, second of all, though, the other one on here that I was kind of a transition to what we were talking about earlier is that broken dishwasher. Keep an eye when you're looking at dishwashers, when you're worried about, I've seen so much damage to flooring and cabinetry. A dishwasher will leak out of the main shaft on the engine. Basically, that motor that's down there, that electric motor that spins the...
Yep.
When that leaks, it drops right down the middle of the floor. And some European dishwashers like Bosch and Miele have got little pans to collect that. Most don't. So that can ruin hardwood floors or those really nice expensive floors you put in your kitchen. Make sure that that's not leaking and inspect that a couple times a year and vacuum out under that space.
Trust me. I've talked about this on the show before. I've lived in a rented unit where the dishwasher leaked. I was out of a kitchen for probably about 3 weeks in the middle of summer. It is not an enjoyable experience. No. I don't care if it's in the middle of winter either. It's still a horror. You don't have your fridge. You're basically living out of coolers for 3 weeks. It is not. Get that fixed, please.
Get it taken care of and you're going to be good to go. And that's going to keep you from having that big insurance claim and that thing. So get that taken care of. Now, here's one that can be very dangerous and I want you to be careful with. A broken range hood. That range hood that's not working or not venting outside. In the Northwest here, whether you're in Oregon or Washington, those vent hoods have to vent outside. So if you're ever going to do any remodeling, and if yours is a recirculating one, that has to go outside, period. So that's a big problem, that you've got to be able to get that outside. And so duct it, make sure it goes outside. But when it's not working, if you've got a gas range, although the emissions are small, I don't like running a natural gas range inside the house without that fan being on. That's carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide.
Yeah.
That's in a tight home, bad idea. Make sure that's venting outside. And I know in the Northwest here, there are thousands of gas-fired cooktops that don't have either working range hoods or properly vented range hoods. And that can be its own big problem. And what's that going to do? That's going to cause unhealthy situation for everybody in that home.
Just think about if you're having your family over for the holidays.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. You got to be careful with that. You know, Carolyn said that, you know, when you're in the home, you know, like Thanksgiving that's coming up now that we're in November, you know, everybody's getting tired after all that. That's because you got so many people in a house and you've got carbon dioxide levels that are high. Maybe not so much that turkey you just
had. It's not the tryptophan.
Nope. So be careful with that one. Now, the last one I wanted to talk about is that gas cooktop not working. Anything gas, if it's not working 100%, get it repaired, get it fixed. And it doesn't matter if you've got an appliance technician out there or if you're worried about, you know, low gas pressure or your gas fireplace, any one of those things, you can always call first your gas company. And in most cases, they will send somebody out to inspect it to make sure it's working correctly. It's that time of year.
Daylight savings time. You know what that means.
Get out those 9-volt batteries. Let's check those smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detectors. And if those things, the carbon monoxide detector is 7 years old, replace it. If the smoke detector is 10 years old, replace it. Let's get those things switched out there because, you know, it's everyone's lives, and let's be careful. Well, that's all the time we got for this week. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
And you've been listening
to Around the House.
Around the House by Eric G. is produced by Design by Eric G. in association with Salem Media and distributed nationally by Envision Networks. All rights reserved. Copyright 2019. Design by Eric G. We will be back next week. If you missed part of the show, check out the podcast of all the shows at AroundTheHouseOnline.com. Remember, measure with a micrometer, mark with caulk, and cut with an axe. Thanks for listening to Around the House.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of Around the House with Eric G. We really appreciate it. Like and follow us on Facebook. That's Around the House with Eric G. And make sure you listen to the podcast and subscribe, follow, comment, and share to all your friends. We'd really appreciate it. For more information, head to AroundTheHouseOnline.com. Make sure and follow our podcast Shorts, which is our midweek special on Wednesdays, and Around the Toolbox for the trades on Thursdays. Thanks for listening to Around the House.
Hey, it's Eric G. from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand-molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.